Well, so I got the news today that an old babysitter of mine passed away,
Oh.
and she had a like 4 or 5 years, 5 years ago ish, like that, something like that. Asked if we would be, if I would be a pallbearer.
Okay. And so, oh, is that, and how do you feel about that?
I said yes then, but I don't know how I feel about it now. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know.
Because it's traditionally a role for people who identify as male, or.
No. She asked me, my brother, and two girls that
Okay.
she had watched back
Just
then.
because it's just too emotional.
I'm a little more emotional than I expected. COVID is happening, and I don't really want to be going to, I don't want to go to a funeral. I mean, I don't have any funeral appropriate women's clothing.
Oh, big
And
black dress.
I mean, I've got a black dress, but it's a little too lacy to wear to a funeral.
You could wear a lacy dress to my funeral if you want, when that happens down the road.
Yeah, but you aren't a 90 some year old woman in my hometown.
That was how old your babysitter is?
She is now, yeah.
Whoa, that's like,
I'm pretty sure. Like she was in her
that's
50s when
really
she
old.
was in her 50s when she cared for us.
That's really adorable. I never had any babysitters that were that old. I was watching, well, can't really talk. Okay. Are we close enough to talk about anything and you know my heart and that I love you?
Yeah.
So I was watching a trailer. I've been meaning to watch this movie for a long time. There's a movie from the early 90s that I remember where there's a babysitter that's really old and mean, actually. So probably not like your babysitter.
No.
Your sweet angel, rest in heaven babysitter.
Yep.
Now, this movie was to star Christina Applegate, and so what happens is they have the babysitter, but then the babysitter is a mean old lady, and she's like probably like 90,
Yeah.
and then she dies in the
Yep.
movie, and that movie's called Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yep.
And I've been meaning to watch that movie. Not relevant, not because of anything to do with your story. This is a separate story. But it definitely reminded me of that when you said you had a babysitter who was an older lady.
Yeah.
But there's no joke there, just a reminding of and a remembrance.
No, the moment you said that, talked about that, I'm like, no, she's talking about don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie. I don't remember much about it.
I was gonna ask, do you
I much preferred Adventures in Babysitting.
Adventures of Babysitting is legit.
That was fucking awesome.
That's some cool shit. That little girl, the little girl, was
Yeah.
so fucking into Thor, it was insane.
I know.
I feel like she grew up to like spark some of the like Marvel Cinematic Universe now. Like that little girl is writing like some of those Thor movies, I feel like. I want to see a sequel. Yeah, Adventures in Babysitting 2, The Revenge. And I want to see what that little girl's up to. She wrote Thor 2. It was a divisive film, but she stands by it because it's more true to the roots of the comics than the other two films. Can we call the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies films? Or is that too prestigious for those movies?
Depends on the movie. I would say that First Avenger would qualify as a film, and I would say that as intellectual it is, Thor 2 might qualify as a film. You know,
Got it.
that difference between them.
Yep.
I would say Iron Man 3 is definitely a film because
Yeah, that's a really good one.
the majority of the movie, they miss a lot of people missed the point of it. The point of it isn't action and adventure. It's here's a man dealing with PTSD,
Yeah.
finally taking the time to deal with PTSD and realize what he's got going on.
Well, alongside an adventurous romp with a young child, a young boy in an unknown town. That doesn't really speak Marvel movie to me, but I love it. And that's I think why I love it, because it is very different and it's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I like the first Avenger so much, is it's an old school war movie, but the it's like a level above all the old school war movies.
Wait, you mean Captain America, the first Avenger?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were saying the first Avengers movie.
No. The first Avengers.
Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, and because I think in that particular movie, they took the a good stance that wasn't like the old war movies where it's all like, yay, the officers saved us and they're the reason we exist now, or glorifying war in any way. It showed war as a real, honest, and horrible thing the way Private Ryan did, but it did it in a Marvel Universe way.
Saving Private Bucky. Now,
that would have been a great movie.
Could we? That's the alternate name for the Winter Soldier movie, which the first Avenger is the prequel to the Winter Soldier.
Right?
Can we call that a prequel, right? Like Back to the Future 1 is a prequel to Back to the Future 2, right?
It's a prelude. Prelude, because it did come out first. So it's a prelude to.
But a
prequel is a story that comes out after, but tells the story of what happened before.
So it has to come out after and tell before. It can't come out before and tell before?
Correct. So if it comes out after, it's a prequel. If it comes out first, it's a prelude.
I got hooked on preludes a few years back.
There was a really good prelude to A Kiss. It was amazing. Just a joke. I haven't actually seen that.
Oh, yeah. No, I was popping three or four preludes a day. yeah, that Back to the Future was in there then. God, I didn't even know how bad it was until you just told me what it was. It went deep. The addiction went deep. I was watching episode 4, A New Hope, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Fellowship of the Ring exclusively.
Oh, that one. I was hooked on a Fellowship for I don't know how long. It took me years to kick that habit.
It was during my era of I was writing a lot of poetry, and I was all about the journey is the destination. So that was my motto, my life motto. And so Fellowship of the Ring was really all I needed. I'm glad to have you with me, Sam, and then walk down the hill. And the journey is the destination. So we don't need Return of the King or any of that shit. I'm in it. I'm in the conclusion.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, worked perfectly that way.
Yeah, but well, I had to join a support group, though. And there was one person in that support group that was the Hooked on Preludes support group. That person watched RoboCop 1 over and over and over.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least they weren't going for the sequels there. I mean, RoboCop 3, that one made me sick. That one made me sick to even do it once. It just made me sick.
It got so bad that they started watching movies that had no sequel, just hoping for a sequel.
Oh my God.
They started, so it was like they were popping in Logan's Run over and over and over.
Oh my God.
Just hoping for a sequel to that movie to come out. And they were just saying, well, every movie has a sequel. Eventually, if I watch these movies, they'll have sequels, and then I'll just have been caught up on all these preludes. It'll be like an overdose of preludes.
Right, right.
I mean, I had an aunt that died from that.
I have a friend that finally got their satisfaction from watching, Blade Runner so fucking much.
Oh, what's that? Oh, preludes isn't a drug. Quaaludes. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Oh. That's not the same thing at all. That's such a fucking stupid joke.
It's just a long dong.
That's part of what made it funny, I think, is that I wouldn't abandon the joke. It was it was dying, but I stayed with it. I stayed with it to the bitter end.
You did. It's a great setup.
I'm a good joke parent. I birth you, and then I stay with you to the bitter end, even if you come out a mess of a joke.
In doing sketches, right? So, like, you know, sketch comedy, you set up these things called run-ons.
Uh-huh.
I made everyone groan by putting a run-on between other people's skits. And everybody's like, oh, like I got the good, oh my God, that was a horrible pun joke run-on thing groan from everyone when it finally landed. And they were like, you just delayed the satisfaction so much.
you got the that was a really smelly fart, but I'm impressed.
Basically that level, yeah. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna call. So Kaylee was supposed to be here for the show. We're just doing the show right now, and I'm going to call Kaylee live on the air.
Ooh.
And we'll see where that takes us.
Let's find out.
Okay, here we go. Oh, you can hear that?
Uh-huh.
Bring. Bring. Let's see what happens.
You have reached Kaylee Coral.
Ooh.
Please leave your message after the tone. After leaving a message, you can hang up or press pound for more options.
I will. Kaylee Cake, ate so much, got a tummy ache. You're supposed to be on the podcast, but we forgive you, I'm sure. You better have a great reason, like you took too many preludes. You'll get that joke when you hear the show. Jen Giggles is giggling. As you may be able to understand. And this voice message is also now on the podcast. So take care. And we'll see you in a bit. Love you.
Goodbye, Kaylee.
Forever.
Oh, God.
Well, this has been another exciting episode of We Happen to Be Trans. Will Kaylee Cake ever respond to Victoria's phone call and join the episode? Will the ladies ever find a topic? Is this the last hurrah? Stay tuned for part two next week. Same trans time, same trans channel.